Good morning, and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Ashwini.
Good morning, Bob.
Our assignment from yesterday. Self-hate negates what we are by focusing the attention on what we're not. I'm talked into identifying what's wrong with me. I am told that I have to meet standards that fix or change me, that make me better, the way I should be to be acceptable and lovable. Yet meeting those standards doesn't get me the approval or acceptance or love that I have assumed I will receive if I meet the standards. This whole orientation misses the point. What we are being conned into believing is that our inherent goodness is conditional, that authentic nature is dependent upon performance. So attention is taken away from the perfection of authentic nature and turned to an ego-maintaining, dualistic conversation that causes us to believe our acceptance is conditional. Assignment: make a recording that allows you to be in touch with the perfection of the true nature that is you. Listen to this recording as a way of training to stay with the realization of true nature rather than falling for the negation of the self-hating conversation. All right. Here is our first caller. You're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lisa.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I guess I've been looking at two different sub-personalities around giving. One is that there's a somebody who loves to give, but out of compulsion because they believe that they're not truly worthy of unconditional love. And so then, they have to give to demonstrate to others that they're worthy of being loved. Mm-hmm. And then another subpersonality that is about feeling exhausted of giving, like all there is giving to others. And what I'm seeing is that, and that sort of is that, like it all kind of comes down to a conditionality around. A story of conditionality around being able to access unconditional love, and either it's never available or one is never able to, it's kind of has just like left my mind at the moment exactly what the backstory, yeah. How that other one connected, but I'm very sure it felt connected.
I'm sure it was, and it really speaks to our assignment from today, right? Because the focus of attention becomes on what we're not, not on what we are, right? And so for the sub-personalities, the underlying theme is the focus on what you're not. You're not perfect, and therefore you have to give endlessly in order to receive unconditional love. And in the other, you're so depleted that from giving, I project, whatever the backstory was. But in both cases, the focus of attention, as you're pointing out, or the story, is related to what is insufficient in you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And what I also saw this month is that they're both operating on the story that what I have to give is mine, that I have it before I give it, and that it's gone once I give it.
Oh, what a phenomenal belief to uncover. It's yours to give, and you have to have it before you give it. There's the condition, right? And then once you give it, it's gone. So, you know, there's a way in which it's a loss. There's an actual belief in the materiality of what is given, that it has to be possessed. And then the possession is given away, and so you no longer have it.
Yeah, absolutely, because when I am present in a moment of giving rather than projecting a moment of giving or even reflecting on the moment of giving, right? So being in the future, in the past. But when I'm actually present in a moment of giving, it's not taking anything from me, and I actually am fuller. There's a sense of fullness in the experience and from the experience that was not there before. So that show, like, that just seems very clearly that, like, it the act of giving actually is not taking, quote unquote, any of my energy in presence. Anyway.
Yes. Well, yes, it's such an important observation or insight to get to through your experience, right? Because what we realize is when I'm here in a moment which could be classified as giving, there is no sense of deprivation of energy or a sense of depletion or a loss. It's just actually a sense of fulfillment. It's coming from a place of contentment. I have to be in the past or in the future for giving to be something that is not what it is. And we come back to our assignment again, right? That the attention is always on what it's not, so we believe it and act from it, rather than consult our experience, which allows us to have a very, very different notion of what it is.
Yeah, it's like a really small micro example of life giving what life asks, or like what it calls, and you're just this instrument in which it's happening through, but not from.
Yes, yes. Yeah, you are the instrument that is giving, or life is you giving in some ways in a total moment of non-separation, right? As opposed to that separation perspective from which you are someone who has something to give and can lose something if you do give. And if you do give appropriately, you're the right person, right? It's all separation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or comes from separation, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
Very good.
Thank you, Ashwin.
Very, very important to see, and to see in all the nuance that you're seeing it, right? Lisa, because it's the light bulbs go off when we see the way in which the belief is stated in order to perfectly control me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like that very... the nuances that was in the Musing article of my name is or I am.
Yeah, precisely. 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 Well, thank you.
Thank you. Show.
Take care. Gosho.
Ashwini, I'm going to bring on the next caller. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I do hear a little. I mean, Rita, there's a lot of static around, and there's a little. It's slightly. I can hear you now.
Okay, great. All right, I'm going to bring on the next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Chris calling from Boston.
Hey, Chris.
Hello. Can you hear me? Okay.
What are you seeing about selfie? Yes, clearly.
Okay, perfect. So I am in a workshop at the moment. So my focus for this month was giving in the sense of my habitual place is kind of hardening against life or tensing against it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, thinking it won't work or I'll fail or something along those lines. So I think one of my kind of ancient stories is that, you know, a relationship could never work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so interestingly, I had a kind of chance to work with that recently, and it did not work out. And it's been, I mean, without that focus on giving and especially self-hate, like seeing how it operates, I think I would have been totally swept under the wave of that.
Mm-hmm. So there was a particular circumstance in your life where a story actually proved to be true, within quotes, it actually happened.
Right.
But without the perspective of practice, there would be a way in which there would be tremendous suffering over it, I project, right? Around, if you weren't in this workshop around giving and having identified what the conditioning is, that would have been, that would have gone a very, very different way.
Right, and it's, so I would say that the shift, conditioning is saying it's very microscopic, but I think it's probably bigger than that. But the shift is that, I mean, the stories definitely came and were strong. I mean, it was like really, really in the grip of it yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there was just enough of like a thread to hang on to, so I could dip my head or lift my head above the water every once in a while and go, okay, this is like the ancient story right now.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that thread feels like a lifeline, right? Because when it's what we practice for, that in the barrage that the story puts us into, that there is a way in which we could at least have a thread of, all right, well, this is what's happening to me, but I know it's a story. I'm still having the experience, right? Because we're not avoiding human experiences, right? If there's a sense of loss, if there's whatever it is that you're experiencing, disappointment, betrayal, whatever is happening, that's really what you're experiencing. But the story wants to run it through the lens of the story. And so to be able to hang with it and be with the human being, or be with the person who is having that experience, is an important aspect of what we practice.
Right, exactly, because the implied message in the story is kind of like I really, the past maybe 48 hours, it's been such a strong conclusion that is trying to be made that I'm just inherently unworthy. And I think just seeing how tenacious that message is, like it, it's really shocking, and that there would be something in my head that would want me to think that.
Yeah, and it's funny that we're shocked, because it's not like we haven't noticed how awful it is, right? Yeah, yeah. And so we keep working with whatever we've got to work with till we've worked through it, right?
Yes, I mean the line that...
The fact that you're having that experiencing it, and you notice the shift in how you're relating to that, is just, it's just tremendous.
Yeah, exactly. Not microscopic, like conditioning would want me to think.
That's right. Exactly so. Not microscopic in the least. Yeah. 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 That you're not unworthy, that this has got nothing to do with you. You're having an experience, and the real experience that you're having with by listening to that story is to shut you down, to say that you're not worthy of a relationship, or you could never make it work, or you should be flexed against life, or defensive against it. And what you're doing is attempting to just be here and not believe what the voices are saying.
Yes, exactly, and then also, right, and also choosing what I am, or how I do want to be.
Oh, absolutely, choosing how you are, or what you do want to be, which has nothing to do with relationship, right? Whether
right.
the relationship works out or not.
Right, right. So that's been my mantra lately. Has just been, I'm not. I refuse to harden up from this experience. I will always choose forgiveness and compassion instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll always choose to be here.
Right.
Yeah, not going back to our assignment, I will choose what is, not what it's not. Because what is this happened. What is not is it happened because you're an unworthy human being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really important to get clear about that and stay clear about it.
Yes, I'm grateful really for the opportunity to get to practice in such a heavy duty kind of way with that.
Yeah, yeah, we are grateful, right? Because the suffering that we experience is the suffering we no longer want to experience.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Ashwini, one thing that kind of jumped out to me in the conversation is just that how any kind of engagement with the conversation allows conditioning to define the focus of the attention, and how important it is that, you know, as you were pointing to, it's like, you know, if we get here and the goal is actually just to be here, not to get anywhere else, then you know, life or inspiration or whatever you want to call it actually gets to drive, you know, where my attention goes. It's not the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think what you're pointing to, Bob, is really subtle, right? Because there's a way in which even if the voices are coming at me and I'm in it, it's one experience. But if I'm here, I can still watch the conversation coming at me and have the attention on what it feels like when that's happening. And that's actually a very present moment experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
I'm still watching it, I'm not in it. It might feel dreadful, but there is a tremendous level of presence watching the thoughts try to do what they're doing and choosing not to be drawn into it. Right? It's like watching the fire than rather than being on fire.
Right, right. Yeah, it really seems that
the heat, regardless,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, feeling the heat. But as I think what you're pointing at is that, you know, that place that Sherry often talks about, that if we're actually watching it, we're not actually being it.
Right.
You know, there might be some residual whatever from, you know, having been identified for however long, but, you know, once we're watching it, we're just in a much better place.
Well, and what to Chris's point, that if I'm able to stay here no matter what they're doing, what it really is assisting me to see is how adequate I am, right? Not
mm-hmm.
how inadequate I am.
Right.
Like
right.
no matter what they throw at me, I'm able to withstand the heat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just so important to have that experience of adequacy.
Yeah.
Great. All right. Here is our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Ashwini and Bob and Danka. This is Jeff in North Carolina.
Hey, Jeff. What are you seeing?
Hey. Well, this experience with the last 2 weeks with giving, it just feels like, you know, before that, just going along, you know, doing the assignments and seeing things and all of that. And, you know, yeah, just, and then giving hit, and it was like, whoa, this has been like a workshop. It's,
uh-huh.
And so I fit, like, in the early days 2, 3, 4, it just felt like self-hate was, just controlled me. I didn't even realize that's what was happening, but all the stories of how other people are the right people in the Sangha, and I'm just really a selfish person. That
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, really was somehow the story, not as blatant as that, but that's basically what the story was.
Mm-hmm.
And it, I mean, it had me. I mean, it really had me. And then I did a two-hand recording. This is now 10 days ago, and basically the message from the mentor was, that's not you. That's ego. And in the, but somehow in the popping out of it, it just felt like the foundations were being shaken, of something. And every time I talk about it, even recording about it yesterday with the assignment, it just, I often get very emotional, even start wailing, because it just feels like this, the freedom that is being experienced is, I don't need to do anything. I don't need to try. I don't need to think I'm the wrong person. I don't need to fix, change, improve myself. The experience that has been happening is that this person already is the person I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
I mean,
so if I'm following what you're saying, right, Jeff, what you're experiencing is the freedom from the story, right? At a very, very deep level, that really this the intelligence that animates as Jeff is perfect as it is. And so this is relief from the drive or being beholden to or attached to a story that's constantly one of negation, that you're not this, you're not this, you're not this. And you don't have to spend the rest of your life trying to be a better person, because what is who I am is the intelligence that animates. And so there's a perfection to that, because it simply is what it is.
That is, it's been so my experience. I mean, there've been two periods where, I mean, self-hate, it feels like this, and again, in the last 2 weeks. So I described one of them. I won't go into the other, but two times it just had me, and it was really hitting harder than I can remember for some time. But it felt like in between them, and then, you know, when I popped out the first time, and then that again, that the foundations were being shaken, I was just like, whoa. And then coming out the second time, it really, it's really been this experience of, this is a good person. Mm-hmm. This is a generous person. This, you know, and experientially, it's just like the experience of being. It's like how could all that be questioned? That mm-hmm. it just doesn't feel like it can be questioned. It just,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
you know,
it's very complicated to put into words, right, Jeff? Because, you know, who is this person, right? But what you said as an interesting word is this is generosity. This is goodness, mm-hmm. right? That's what we cannot question. Mm-hmm. If everything has Buddha nature, then that the nature of the Buddha is goodness, compassion, and wisdom, and that is thou that art, right? And so
right.
the realization of that takes all the personality out of it and brings us to that experience of freedom or peace or realization of what we truly are, what is true nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because, again, you know, our language is really important, because if we start to identify with the person, then who is that, right? Is there a separation there that's being pointed to that actually takes away from the experience of non-separation that being is, right?
Yeah. That's interesting to look at. I don't know. When I was saying the word person. Anyway, it was really just trying to describe an experience, but it is, yeah, but thank you for that. I will look at that.
Again, the reflection wasn't intended to take away from the magnitude of what you were describing, just simply that caution to not ascribe, not to let labels point us in a direction that we are not headed in.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Back into the system.
Exactly. Back into the system. To collapse the awareness from all that is to a person, right?
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, thank you for that.
Well, thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Jeff. And Ashwini, I'm going to try and bring on one last caller for today. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Aloha, this is Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Hi, Ashwini. Hi, Bob. So my focus for the month was is saying yes when my default drive, karmic default drive, has always been no. Mm-hmm. And I've known that for quite a while, that my initial response is a conditioned no, and then I have to go back and revisit, you know, the request or the urging from life or whatever it is that is asking me to say yes. Mm-hmm. And conditioning took that and said, okay, you have to say unequivocal yeses to absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. And I had an example of this where someone asked me if I was interested in doing something. And the message I got was, even though this is not something you are remotely interested in, you must say yes. Mm-hmm. And as it turned out, the way I said yes was by facilitating a connection between this request and someone else who would be interested in doing it.
So you did say yes.
So I said yes, but not in the way that conditioning, I didn't take on the project, basically.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. That's just such a nuanced calibration, right? To the yes of life.
Yeah, and I had to sit with it for a few days because I knew I wanted to say yes, but I also knew that I didn't think I was the appropriate person to do it.
Oh, it's such a wonderful process, isn't it? Right, Laura, because in retrospect, we could say that what you were saying yes to was life's request that you brokered this transaction, not that you did it.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I came to. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. And that impulse that, that I don't know this, but it is true for me that oftentimes what gets revealed is if I say no, then I've shut out the impulse of yes, so I'm not present for the subsequent information from life, which is giving me direction on how to say yes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And so something arises, and the conditioned thing is no, and so now I'm shut off from ever receiving more information about, well, the yes that I want you to consider is, that's why we always want to say yes. Yes on a process level, not yes on a content level. That's where the confusion happens, right? Because saying yes to life implies that I have to say yes to every piece of content. No, yes to life is I have to say yes, be open to whatever is being asked so that I keep the channel open to get more information about what's being asked.
Oh, you said that so clearly. Yes, exactly. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's glorious when we get it, right? Because mm-hmm. otherwise we feel imprisoned by the conditioning that says, I don't want to do this, but I have to anyway. And we've lost really what the saying yes to life calibration is all about.
Yes. Yeah. 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 And then, of course, that just reinforces saying no, because
precisely.
It's not fun.
Yeah, because you don't want to, and it's not, yeah. Yes, exactly. And there's a way in which, you know, we don't have to be self-flagellating in this process, but that place of, we've had this conversation where I watch the impulse to say no, and I say yes, even though I'm not remotely interested in the whole thing, just to have fun, as you said, with the process of the exploration. Because if you had not had that structure in place, you couldn't have watched how the conditioning came in. You couldn't have watched how it evolved in a way that is facilitated for what's compassionate for all, right?
Yes, and that was the focus. What is the most compassionate for all?
Yeah, yeah.
That was the question.
That we participate the way we're being asked to participate if we are willing to let go my preference so that I know how I'm being asked to participate. Not my way, but thy way, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, it's just glorious.
It is. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Laura. I just want to love that conversation. I mean, and I agree how you articulated that was just perfect, because it really makes clear that what we're doing is focusing on a process, and with that, you know, the intention that was set there, it helps to reveal how conditioning tries to pull us into the content as the focus, and then that gets revealed, and then we get to turn back to, okay, so, you know, that compassion for all places, what we're actually saying yes to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's being revealed to us, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the show, Ashwini. And here is our assignment for today. As you read over how suffering happens for you, can you get a sense of the karma behind this issue? What beliefs, assumptions, projections, behavior do you consistently choose that result in suffering? Example, in continuing to believe conditioning's definition of selfish and selfless, I end up saying yes to ego and no to life. The ego identity of being the savior to all, but not perfectly, is maintained at the expense of being an instrument of life, who is also included in life's circle of giving and receiving. RL, what you see.
Well, thank you, Bob.
All right, thank you.
Go happy.
Thanks, everybody. Go happy.